This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've got a really strange set of source materials today.
Yeah, these feel different, almost like fragments pulled from a corrupted hard drive or something. Very unsettling.
Definitely. And at the center is this case, a woman named Emily Dawson. These bizarre audio recordings that are apparently her, but she doesn't remember them.
And the location data? That's where it gets really weird. A place tied to the recordings that just, well, doesn't seem to exist.
Right. Ashfield Hollow. So our task today is to sift through these fragments, these pieces of data.
And try to figure out what could possibly be going on. Because the evidence seems to push into, frankly, terrifying directions.
Exactly. One road leads to something deeply personal, maybe some kind of time issue or memory problem specific to her.
While the other points outwards,
suggests
she's being watched, manipulated, maybe part of some external test or system.
Yeah, that tension is right there from the start, isn't it? Internal breakdown versus external control.
Absolutely. Every clue can be read both ways. That's what makes it so creepy, I guess.
Okay, so let's dive in. The sources pinpoint the start to April 1922. Rural Oregon. We have a school teacher, Emily Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
And according to these records, she gets a notification on her phone.
Hold on. Her phone in 1922.
Yeah. See? Right there. That's the first huge anomaly in the source material itself. Phones, audio files, notifications. None of that existed then.
Okay, so that's massive. Are the sources themselves unreliable? Is the date wrong? Or is this part of the phenomenon?
Okay. Maybe it's a simulation of 1922 using later tech. Or maybe the reality these sources describe is just fundamentally broken from the start.
Wow. Okay. So putting the impossible date aside for a second, she gets this audio file notification.
Right. And the phone indicates she recorded it. That's the claim.
Because she has no memory of it.
None. Doesn't remember saying the words, recording anything, nothing.
So straight away you're thinking, what? A glitch. Deepfake, somehow, even back then, conceptually.
Or is her phone compromised?
Or is her memory compromised? That's the question, isn't it? Is it technology failing her or her own mind? It's the first real crack. Is the data fake or is the person experiencing the data becoming unreliable?
And it apparently didn't stop there. The sources say more files started showing up. Randomly.
More audio. In her voice.
Yep. Unmistakably her voice, according to the records. Same tone, pitch, everything.
But the content, I remember reading those examples. Chilling.
Yeah, things like, he's coming back today, lock all the windows. Real fear in the implied message.
And that other one, I couldn't get out this time.
That one feels heavy, like really desperate.
It does, and because it's her voice saying these things she doesn't know, well, it deepens the puzzle.
So is it her subconscious breaking through some kind of fugue state she's recording in?
That's the internal path, right? A psychological fracture manifesting as these recordings.
Or is something using her voice, copying it perfectly and planting these messages?
Which is the external path. Surveillance manipulation. Using her own voice against her, essentially. That phrase, I couldn't get out this time, sounds like being trapped, which fits either a loop or, you know, actual confinement.
Okay, let's bring in the location. That first recording, the one she didn't remember. It was tagged.
Ashfield Hollow.
Ashfield Hollow. And the critical detail from the source. This town isn't on any map. Anywhere.
Not just current maps, but historical ones mentioned in the files, too.
Apparently not. It just doesn't exist geographically.
See, that detail, for me, leans things slightly more towards the external. Why tag a specific non-existent place unless it's a marker within a system?
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't a distorted mind create a fictional place that feels real to it, like a memory palace gone wrong?
It could, maybe. But tying specific digital data to a named, non-existent geographical point feels constructed, like a variable in an equation, or maybe a real place, but wiped, classified, hidden.
A hidden government site, maybe? Or just a digital ghost town?
Could be either, but it screams system to me more than personal delusion.
Okay, well, Emily, understandably, is freaking out, her voice saying scary things, tied to a place that isn't real. So the sources say she checks her car's GPS.
Smart move. Look for other data trails.
And bingo, or anti-bingo, I guess. The GPS history. It shows a route to Ashfield Hollow.
What? It found a route to a place that doesn't exist?
Not just found it, it logged visits. Multiple times. Over the last few months.
Oh, come on. So the GPS says she's been driving to this non-existent town repeatedly.
That's what the data showed, according to the sources, directly contradicting her conscious memory of never having been there or even heard of it before the recording.
Okay. This is the core contradiction. Verifiable logs versus no memory for a place that isn't real. How do you even begin to reconcile that?
Well, let's take your external manipulation idea first. How does that explain the logs?
Simple. In a scary way. The logs are faked. Spoofed GPS data planted in her system.
To make her doubt herself. To track her compliance with something.
Exactly. Create a false history to increase disorientation. Make her feel like she's losing her mind or that something is fundamentally wrong with her reality. It's psychological manipulation using tech. And doing it over months suggests a sustained effort.
Okay, but now let's flip it. What if the logs are real? What if she did physically go there?
But doesn't remember, and the place isn't real. How?
Think about that phrase. I couldn't get out this time. What if it's a loop? What if she's drawn there, unconsciously, maybe tries to leave, fails, and her memory resets?
Like a temporal loop, or a memory wipe related to that specific location or event.
Yeah. The conscious mind forgets, but the technology, the GPS, keeps an objective record.
Yeah.
The logs are like residual data leakage from repeated cycles she can't recall.
It's a compelling idea, psychologically, but generating accurate timestamp GPS data over months from a memory loop, that feels like a stretch technologically. Fabricating data seems, well, more straightforward for a capable external actor. Those logs feel technical, programmed.
Maybe. But the feeling of it, the horror, feels so personal. Anyway, Emily decides she has to know.
Yeah.
Sources say she follows the route from her GPS, drives towards Ashfield Hollow.
Okay, so she's confronting the data head on. What happens?
She follows the directions precisely.
Yeah.
And the final destination point.
Yeah.
Just a dirt road, pee dwindles out into the woods. That's it. No town, no sign, no buildings, nothing.
A dead end.
Literally. A physical dead end where the digital map insisted a town should be. A town her own car said she'd visited.
So if it's an external test site, maybe that's just the designated entry point, or the test is about getting her to that spot, not what's physically there.
Or if it's the loop theory, maybe trying to access it consciously, deliberately, makes it inaccessible. Like you can only get there when you're in the loop, not when you're observing it.
Both possibilities just make it weirder. The data leads to nothingness.
And then comes the final twist, according to these files. While she's standing there at this dead-end road, confused, probably scared, she pulls out her phone again.
What does she do?
Records a voice memo, maybe just documenting the dead end, her frustration, who knows.
Okay.
And the phone reacts. The screen flickers. Okay. Text appears. First message. Message received. Copy saved.
Okay, like an upload confirmation.
Yeah.
Standard enough, maybe.
But then a second message pops up. And this one is different. It says, version 2 synced successfully.
Version 2 synced successfully.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That does not sound like normal phone behavior. That's system language. Pure data processing talk.
Right. So looking at it through your external manipulation lens.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It sounds exactly like confirmation within a testing protocol or surveillance system. Her arrival at the GPS coordinate, maybe triggered by the location service, combined with her action of recording, that completes a phase or provides required input.
So message received, copy saved, is the system logging her voice or activity.
And version 2 synced successfully. That sounds like her subject file or the test parameters themselves just got updated. She's progressed to the next stage, or her data package version 2 is now complete and stored. It's cold, technical confirmation of interaction with an unseen system.
Okay, I see that. But could it fit the other way too? The time loop, the personal reality distortion? Well, message received, copy saved. Maybe whatever mechanism governs the loop or her distorted reality registered her input, her voice memo, from that specific point of anomaly.
Hmm. And version 2 synced successfully.
Could that mean a version of her reality or her memory state or her consciousness within the loop has just been saved?
Yeah.
Updated? Like hitting a checkpoint in whatever weird process she's caught in? Her action triggered a system state save.
So a system managing the loop itself rather than an external observer's system.
Potentially. It still implies a system, but one tied intrinsically to her strange state, not necessarily imposed from outside.
Okay. Both interpretations of that message are deeply unsettling.
Absolutely. So let's recap the fragments we have. Audio files. Her voice, not her words, getting scarier. Location. Ashfield Hollow. Tagged, but non-existent.
GPS logs. Showing repeated visits to this non-place, contradicting her memory completely.
Physical reality. Following the logs leads only to a dead-end dirt road.
And the climax. Recording a memo there triggers phone messages like, message received, copy saved, and crucially, version 2 synced successfully.
Taken together, the sources seem to force us down one of two paths, like you said at the start.
Yeah. Path 1. Emily is caught in a personal temporal knot, a reality loop, a memory distortion, something resetting or cycling, leaving digital ghosts like GPS logs behind and interacting with some kind of underlying system managing her state.
Path 2. She's a test subject, unwittingly part of some sophisticated surveillance or experimental program that uses fabricated audio, fake locations, manipulated data, and monitors her responses, confirming actions with system messages like version 2 synced. Maybe governmental, maybe something else.
Both are nightmare scenarios, honestly. One where your own reality betrays you from within, the other where it's being actively undermined from without.
Leaves you wondering, doesn't it?
Definitely. And it brings up a broader thought looking at these sources. If the digital trails we leave, the records of where we've been, what we've said, even our own voice recordings, if those can become so contradictory, so easily manipulated, or perhaps reflective of a reality we don't consciously perceive,
yeah.
Well, how much trust can we really place in the objective record of our own lives? Could our perceived reality, our history, be subtly rewritten or influenced by systems, internal or external, that we aren't even aware of? Something to think about.